On this episode of The Playbook, I have Taylor Berry, the Senior Director of Brand Marketing for Tito's Vodka. And he tells us not only how to build a brand like Tito's, but also how to get a job in sports.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneur, and I have Taylor Berry, the head of brand marketing.
Pleasure to meet you.
Tito's Handmade Vodka.
Yes, sir.
I saw some of that last night, and I just got warmed up for this morning.
I love it. I love it.
So we're going to start right. What does the head of brand marketing do? I mean, most people, they want to be in marketing, but I don't think when they graduate college, they have a clue what that means.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's different at every company that you work at. You know, I've worked on a lot of different brands, and I think especially one like Tito's Handmade Vodka, it's just one of those brands that kind of has defied convention every way in the past 21 years that it's been around. And so it's kind of an interesting opportunity because a brand like Tito's has kind of really grown through word of mouth, and it's really due to a lot of our fans and their love for the brand. So really being able to tap into that, tap into why they love it, and be able to kind of replicate that for the new audiences that we're trying to find. And so, you know, really kind of figuring out what's the competitive advantage of our vodka, you know, the quality, the price, those kind of tangible things mixed with some of the more kind of emotional sides of the brand that people really are attracted to, and kind of figuring out where's the combination of those two that really is the sweet spot in getting people and getting that advocacy of your customers.
And it is about emotionally attaching to your product. The other thing that you mentioned was 21 years. What I find interesting about brands is that people think Tito's is a new brand. It's an overnight success. Mm-hmm. But it's those first, you know, 15 years of struggle that makes a brand. It creates the energy, the frequency that you're discussing. You know, tell me a little bit about that story of the journey of how that brand has been built and then how you leverage it emotionally with your clients.
Definitely. And I think it starts even before that 21 years. You know, the founder of Tito's Handmade Vodka is Tito Beveridge, which is just
awesome.
It's amazing. Yeah. His last name is Beveridge.
I kept reading it going, is his last name really Beveridge?
It's like, you can't make it up,
right.
You know? He's a geophysicist and geologist by trade. And kind of one of the biggest lessons that he's taught not only the people inside at Tito's, but also kind of everybody he meets, is his success is really built upon his failures. And you know, it starts back to, you know, he wanted to be a doctor, went to a hospital, realized not for him.
So no
just,
way.
He just...
You know, that's my story, right?
Really?
Like my mom's like doctor, lawyer, failure.
Yeah.
And so I was pre-med. And I go to see my brother who's a doctor, and I'm in a hospital, and I'm like, dude, I hate hospitals.
I mean,
you know you have to be in a hospital. I had no idea.
It's exactly the same thing.
Really?
He went to Vanderbilt, was pre-med, spent the summer at a hospital, and he was like, not for me.
Okay.
So he transferred, he started working on an oil rig in Texas, in Houston, I think, and found out that the geologist was worth like $17 million. Like, I want to be a geologist.
That's
so he goes and majors in geophysics and geology. And then has stints in Houston, then Desert Storm happens, loses everything, goes down to Venezuela as like in like a seismic dynamite crew, Venezuela and Colombia, hates that, comes back, tries to start another oil business, that fails. And so he's kind of had all of these different things of failure, and then one of his buddies was like, do you want to be a home mortgage broker? And he's like, I make a bunch of money, you're good at math, why don't you do that? And so he started doing that. And he's like, you know, it was great. He was making all this money. At the same time, he was basically making infusions of vodka for friends for Christmas presents. And he was at a party, and you know, he's trying to get this whole mortgage business off the ground. I think at this time, he probably started his own, which shares the name with our parent company, it's Fifth Generation. So he's doing fifth generation mortgages. And he's at this party, and a guy comes up to him and he goes, hey, you're the vodka guy. And he goes, no, I'm the mortgage guy.
Yeah.
You know? And so kind of got him thinking. He goes home, he sees this special on PBS, and it's like, if you want to find your passion, draw a line down the middle of a sheet of paper. On one side, write down the things you're good at, and the other side, write down the things that you love. And the intersection of those two was essentially making vodka. So at the same time, he started fifth generation distilling. So if he got phone calls, it would be either for mortgages or for distilling. And then he kind of figured out which one he'd be the most successful at. So it's just kind of that bootstrap nature that's kind of, you know, really helped him get this company off the ground. But like you said, it wasn't just successful immediately. You know, he had to, there was never a legal distillery in Texas, so he had to read all the code. He knew that through some of his environmental studies and doing mortgages, and basically had to convince the TTB that that it was in the code that he was allowed to start a distillery. Builds this whole thing by hand, then is selling vodka out of the back of a truck. And I mean,
and still doing mortgages.
Basically, I think at this time he's like finally shifting over, like, hey, you got to pick something, you know what I mean? And
well, it's important because a lot of entrepreneurs, right, they have a side hustle. And I always say the best way to make your side hustle your regular hustle is be great at what you're doing, be a professional at what you're doing. And that gives you, so I always say, do it faster, make more money at it, because eventually, now if you have more time and money, you can make your side hustle your main gig.
Your passion. Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, you're totally right. It's you're 100% right. But yeah, I mean, I think ultimately the brand started taking off because a philanthropy in 1997 came up to Tito and basically said, hey, do you do events? It was called Project Transitions. It was in support of HIV and AIDS victims. And it's like, yeah, sure, I'll do events. So we went and did this nonprofit party and brought a bunch of cases of Tito's. And he said, if you like it, tell 20 of your closest friends. Everybody there was so inspired that this guy just came and gave them free vodka and like helped their party and that kind of helped raise awareness. And it started this kind of culture of giving. And it evolved into us really doing all of these events. And we kind of, the word of mouth grew on such a local level. It was just kind of like one philanthropic event at a time. And we really, you didn't discriminate between like one cause versus another. It was just anyone that knocked on the door, we delivered.
Yeah.
And I think that slowly kind of helped build that word of mouth. And then, you know, we won, I think, a double gold award in 2001. And then that's when things really started taking off.
Right, which is amazing. But then, you know, as a company grows, you have national and international distribution. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been blessed to work with Cindy Frank for years on the marketing side. Mm-hmm. And tried everything from the Jägermeister music, Great Goose music tour, you know, all types of different things. Where do you find your voice, right? When you talk about connecting to people emotionally, your job is to find that frequency or voice so that people know when they see that brand that it means and feels something. What are you intending it to mean and feel?
Yeah, I think there's a level of authenticity that has always been infused into Tito's Handmade Vodka. You know, I think one, being from Texas, will always be part of our brand, right? That we're the first distillery here. I think, again, the fact that it's just a great product at a great price is something that is an easy thing to market, but ultimately it's this kind of this environment of giving back. And it's something that is infused into every employee, and it's something that we really try to make sure comes across to all of our consumers. And I think on top of that, this whole story of Tito, I mean, it's a story of hope. And I think if you can market that to a consumer, let them know, let them in on the journey of Tito, knowing that it wasn't an overnight success, knowing that this guy had to go through all of this hardship to get to where he is, you know, it gives people an idea that, hey, I can do the same thing. I can make a side hustle my main gig if I, you know, just keep at it.
How do you distinguish, you know, it's funny, we market hope, but it's also marketing faith, mm-hmm. right? And they're so closely tied. And when I think of Tito and Tito's vodka, I there's a faith-based crowd that, you know, this is a guy who had faith. And when people have these obscure journeys, which most very successful people, if you reverse engineer where they came from, there's no reason other than faith that would get them there.
Right.
Right. It's not like, oh, I went to this, you know, distillery school. You
know, no, what I mean? Absolutely. Right?
And,
absolutely.
And I love vodka and I dreamed of owning a vodka company. Like, I never see that direct path.
Right. Never.
Never. You know, and the greatest entrepreneurs, you know, it's very, very rare that they even had a clue how they got there, but there's some sort of faith involved. And when you can attach hope and faith to a brand, you know, you have loyalty. It's almost like drinking good luck,
Seriously. I mean, some people have called it like the American dream in the bottle, you know? Yeah, there's something about that. And I totally agree. And it's also, it's faith in what you're doing and really knowing that there is hope for your success, but it's also faith in yourself, you know, and making, knowing that you can kind of turn the negative energy of a failure into something positive, right? And take everything that you've learned, something that didn't go your way, and turn it into something else. And maybe it's a new venture that's in the same field, or it's something like this. It's, you're doing seismic cruise in Venezuela, and then all of a sudden you're going to start doing vodka. You know, it's crazy. And you can make that shift as long as you kind of believe in yourself and believe in what you're about to go do.
And you have to, in order to get back. It's funny because, you know, when I ran Lee Steinberg, you know, from Orange County, we believed in first, right? We would only represent first rounders or people that were first, like Myron Roll, the first Rhodes Scholar, you know,
right?
Because there was something to market.
Totally.
Right? And beyond first, there always had to be a community or civic cause or purpose tied to every single athlete. So our qualifier was, if you were going to represent you, you had to give back, either be involved with or start your own charity of something you're passionate about. So I had a boxer one time that had shoes with holes on the bottom, and he had to put cardboard because he couldn't afford new ones.
Right.
And so we suggested, why don't you create a foundation to give shoes? And work done, you're familiar, his mom couldn't afford a house, you know, all the way up to Deshaun Watson, right?
Right.
Gave his down payments for houses. What charities now, you know, it's a huge part of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that has to be like a whole business unit for marketing. How do we align with those charities and support those charities?
Yeah, it's interesting. And it kind of goes back to exactly what you were just saying. It's definitely different than any other company that I've seen. Tito wants to make sure that there is this culture of giving, but it's empowering employees to give to what they care about. So we started this program called Love Tito's 4 years ago. Pretty much the structure of it is every employee has what we call joy dollars. And so they get to give back to any nonprofit that truly they care about. And so we don't have a specific direction of what we give to. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. As long as our employees care about it, we'll do it. And if anybody comes knocking on the door, we do it. And so it's you know, a lot of people always ask Tito, like, you have to kind of focus where your philanthropy goes. You have to focus on one specific cause. Like, what do you guys stand for? And his point of view is, let's just help everybody. Let's help everybody that we possibly can. And I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah,
you know, and just to be able to, you know, if I care about soldiers overseas, that's what I'm going to give back to. If you care about dogs, it's a huge part of our business. Because the distillery is out in like the middle of you know, South Austin, all these strays were coming up, and so it's just becoming like a huge part of our culture, and we have a whole separate arm of the company. That's called Vodka for Dog People.
Let's move a little bit. A lot of people dream about having your job, right? And I'm sure you get a lot of resumes for kids who want to brand or market, you know, one of the best, if not the best vodka company in America. How did you get to where you're at?
Yeah, I think it's a similar journey.
You want to be a doctor?
Yeah, exactly. No. You know, I was a naive kid graduating college.
But you were with all your friends, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone was naive.
Totally. And I took the job that gave me the best salary. And, you know, I'd always been kind of an artist. I loved being creative. I always wanted to be in creative industries. And I ended up taking the job that was going to pay me the most.
To be creative?
Well, no. I took the one that gave me the best salary.
Nice.
And, you know, I stayed there for a year.
What kind of job was it?
It was IT recruiting.
Really?
And it was...
Executive recruiting?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I knew it wasn't what I wanted to do. I stuck with it for a year. And I kind of look back at that as kind of like the best and worst mistake of my life, right? I think it didn't put me on the trajectory that I necessarily wanted at the beginning. But I learned so much from it. One, cold calling, incredible skill. I think just being able to, you know, get over your fear of talking to people is huge. But two, it kind of really gave me direction in terms of what I wanted to do. It made me realize what I really wanted was to be creative. And so by chance, and I think a lot of success is a little bit of luck and a little bit of timing and a little bit of who you know, and obviously skill on top of that, I started working for Apple's ad agency. And so I was there for quite a long time in California, moved to New York.
How did you, a lot of people wouldn't know how to do this because I get this, I do a lot of business coaching. So I have people that are unhappy, lawyers, doctors, professionals, they're unhappy, all ages, and they want to transition. How did you, with your resume, I mean, you went to USC, here you are an IT recruiter, and all of a sudden you're kind of branding yourself internally with Apple, like, I'm a creative guy. How'd you get that job?
It's also kind of a crazy story, but a fraternity brother of mine interviewed for it, and he was from London, wouldn't sponsor his visa, and they asked him if there was anybody else he'd recommend, and he knew that I always wanted to be in creative advertising and recommended me, and I went in there and said, basically, take a chance. Like, I know, you know, I've got this background, I'm kind of fresh out of college, but this is a brand that I would love to work on, and I want to be in the creative industry, and so they took a chance on me, and I think, you know, it ended up kind of, you know, taking that path a little bit more on the linear side, and I've been in advertising and marketing ever since.
Yeah, there's no accidents. Like, both journeys, where I wanted to talk about yours and Tito's, right? I believe these coincidences come from preparation and consistent behavior. Mm-hmm. And when you're a good person, people are actually looking out for you. It's like when I got my job with Lee Steinberg, it was the same thing. I was helping a friend with a reality show. I really had never even practiced law, right? I had sold stuff. I got a law degree and passed the bar. But out of nowhere, my friend from London said, hey, can you represent me? And I ended up in front of Lee Steinberg, not looking for a job.
Right.
And 48 hours later, I'm running the most notable sports agency in the world.
Exactly.
But meanwhile, when I was in law school, I'd have been sending my resume to Lee, going, hey, hire me as a sports agent.
Right.
And not getting anywhere.
But it's just kind of getting in those situations it's funny. I think about the brand and the business and the little things. And I think that's kind of a key to its success is, you know, these little chance encounters that kind of change the trajectory of a company, you know, whether it's meeting a specific person at a philanthropy event that all of a sudden becomes your best brand advocate versus, you know, something in my career, it's like a small chance encounter or something like this that kind of got me onto this trajectory with Apple. Even this job itself, it's kind of funny. I was actually in town in Austin. I was living in New York as in Austin for the USC-UT football game this past season. And someone set up a lunch meeting with me and Tito. And that's how this all happened. And it was just preparation. I was prepared for it, you know, it's definitely something that I wanted to do. And, you know, all the experiences that kind of led up to that, and then all of a sudden, just kind of this chance encounter with him led to me now being out here in Austin, you know, working for this brand that, you know, it's a total dream come true.
What advice would you give? There's so many entrepreneurs out there that want to build a brand. What's the best piece of advice you could give them of how to start building your brand, whether it's personal or a product?
Yeah, I think one is taking input from every experience that you possibly can. I think, you know, there's a lot of rules, and I think business school will tell you exactly the steps that you need to take in order to be a successful entrepreneur. And I don't think you have to take those steps every single time, right? Like maybe that has been kind of the key for some people, but even like, you know, using this as a great use case, it's like just defy convention and just do what you feel is right in your heart of hearts, right? Do what you feel and like make sure that mission is tied to you as a person, the mission of your brand, and that, you know, that passion is going to be your key to success.
Yeah, and I think both you and Tito, by looking at your journeys, are, you know, the lesson that I get out of it is the one that I love is don't be afraid of change, right? You know, like I still have friends that are lawyers, right? I went to law school.
Yeah.
And you know, here I am, 51 years old, so I think I went to my 25th reunion, still miserable practicing, right? And it's the same story. At the five-year reunion, the 10, the 15, the 20, and 25, the same guys, I'm like, why? And meanwhile, I won't do anything that I don't love.
Right.
And it takes some responsibility because just like Tito and yourself, I put profit first. Right? I put profit first, but then I back out my purpose and put my passion into it. Different formula than the line in the middle, but it's same result.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Two lines instead of one. This has been incredible. I hope a lot of entrepreneurs get to listen to this because these are questions that come up all the time from someone that whose feet are on the ground, right? It's easy when you have Warren Buffett out there telling you what he did. You know, that's terrific, but you are truly, you know, the entrepreneur's mentor. You know, this is a true journey of both the company and yourself. So, Taylor, I really appreciate
you having me. This has been great. Thanks so much.
Great brand, great executive. This is Dave Meltzer with Taylor Berry with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.